Well, word of advice, unbutton that top button. Let those things breathe. Any message you want me to relate to Jim? Okay. You got that?
I got it.
Write it down.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly episode 44. Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. You know what we got to do before the episode? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. You can follow the blog at GothamSN. We are on a number of platforms. We are on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. So you get the fresh episode to your device, no matter what device, every single Wednesday morning. Just make sure you're subscribed and you will get the fresh episode. All right, that's pretty much it. Let's get into it. There is a lot to get into, and it's all bad. There were points at the game yesterday. I wanted to turn it off, but it's like a train wreck. You can't look away. Plus, I'm doing the GIF thing. I audibly gasped when I looked up and saw that the third quarter wasn't even over yet. That's how bad things have gotten. I don't really know where to start in regards to Sunday. We could start with the fact that it's never been more obvious that a team has quit on their coach than it is with the New York Giants and Ben McAdoo right now. We can talk about how it's the worst loss that the Giants have experienced since, what was it, the 90s?
It was, I mean, you have to go back, but it was bad.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
We could talk about the fact that we still have 8 more games to play, and we're talking about top 5 draft picks, future coaches, future general managers. So I feel like I do this a lot, but Weiss, you always seem to have a rundown of where you want to start, at least in regards to last week. So before we get into John Mara and the incompetence of the New York Giants, let's recap the pathetic Rams game, and then we'll get into everything upper management.
You know, this was an utter embarrassment, and to answer your question from earlier, this was the worst loss since 95 when they lost to Dallas 35-0. But in terms of a loss where it's like someone scores 50 on you, you have to go back to 1943 where it was such a blowout, 56-7 to the Bears. No, 1943, I wasn't alive. You weren't alive.
I certainly was not alive.
If you know somebody that was alive and remembers that game who can compare that one to this one, please let us know. But this was just an utter, utter embarrassment. This was – you think you can't get worse, but then it does. So I don't know if it can get worse than this, but – to this date, in this era of Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese and this whatever the Giants are doing, this is rock bottom. This is the worst. And you hit it right on the head. If there's ever a time where players have just quit on coaches, this is it. It's clear as light that this team doesn't respect Ben McAdoo. They aren't playing for him. And to be quite honest with you, it is an utter embarrassment. I mean, a 3rd and 33 that goes 52 yards for a touchdown. I looked at the box score, Ethan, and then I just want to share something.
Go for it.
Robert Woods had 4 catches for 70 yards. His longest play was 52 yards. That was a touchdown. Sammy Watkins had 1 catch for 67 yards. That was a 67-yard touchdown. Cooper Kupp had 3 catches for 54 yards. His longest play was 35 yards. Todd Gurley and Gerald Everett, okay, each had catches of 44 yards. 52, 67, 35, 44, 44. Just
why is he trying to tell me that the Giants are giving up the big play?
I mean, this was a secondary then in the beginning of the season I said was the best was in my opinion the best secondary going into the season.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take credit away from the Rams. They've done a great job turning this whole thing around. And Sean McVay is a real offensive guru, but I mean, my God. I mean, the strength of this team was the defense. And to give up 51 points coming out of a bye, you point the finger at the coaching staff 100%. And we've beaten that horse many, many times. And you and I both agree that it's time to clean house. But these players, Landon Collins, I mean, come on. This was his worst performance that I've ever seen him, and that his rookie season was bad, but last Sunday was just so bad. Eli Apple, I mean, you bring guys in, you know, when you drop them in the top 10, these are guys that are supposed to help establish culture. Eli Apple's effort on that play, are you kidding me? That was disgusting. That was despicable. If I was the coach, I wouldn't even play him next week. I mean, just some of the, if you go back and you just watch the effort, you don't have to be a coach. You don't have to be a player. Just look at it and see how these players perform. It's pathetic. And I know they quit on their coach, and I understand that. But if you quit on your coach, if you quit on whatever he's trying to sell you, if you quit on the defensive coordinator, that's fine. But play for yourself. I mean, 51 points, that is just utterly ridiculous. And I understand, like I said, they quit on the coach. They don't respect the coach. But at the same time, these are professional football players. And to get embarrassed like that, I mean, if you're John Mara, you know what your opinion is toward your head coach and toward your GM. But how can you watch these players and say to yourself, I'm paying these guys? Just an utter embarrassment, man. I was at a loss for words. And like you said, I couldn't turn away because, I mean, you were just like, how bad can it get? And the Rams stopped, took their foot off the gas midway through the third quarter. They could have scored 70 if they really wanted
to. Yeah, absolutely. It's bad. And you think back to like a few weeks ago, right? There were signs that the Giants just weren't buying what Ben McAdoo was selling. They weren't picking up what he was putting down. You had suspensions or some sort of disciplinary action towards pretty much every defensive back, right? Eli Apple was benched for a half. DRC was suspended for a game. And Janoris Jenkins was suspended for this game. Then you have Landon Collins blatantly not giving a fuck out on the field. Eli Apple making business decisions. Where the hell have injured? Where the hell has JPP been? It's like unbelievable. And you think, and you players really shouldn't be thinking this way, right? But as a fan, you look at it and you say, okay, this offense has been absolutely putrid, right? The defense last year, they carried this team. The offense was supposed to be better this year. Last year, you had injuries to Olivier Vernon and JPP because they were overworked and the defense was on the field so much. Secondary, probably getting sick and tired of the offense's bullshit where they're playing so many goddamn minutes. And who are they going to be pointing the finger at? It's Ben McAdoo. So it's obvious that Ben McAdoo has completely and utterly lost the defense. And if you're John Mara, and you look at this, and you say, well, you know, Mr. Beat Reporter, it's quite obvious that things are not good right now. No shit, John. I don't think I've ever seen a team care less than the New York Giants did last Sunday. And there is absolutely no reason to keep this bum around for any longer. Okay? Because it's just going to get, I mean, you thought Sunday was bad. It's going to get worse. Can you imagine if they lose to the 49ers on Sunday? It's going to get worse. Get rid of McAdoo and promote from within for the rest of the season, because at least the players may have an ounce of respect for whoever you promote. You have some people on the coaching staff, Steve Spagnuolo, who has prior head coaching experience, hasn't gone well, but at least he knows what the hell he's doing, and he's not going to be the one calling the offensive plays anyway. That's Mike Sullivan. There is absolutely no point, no reason to keep Ben McAdoo around for the rest of the season. And I got people on Twitter coming at me saying, oh, well, Ethan, what do you want John Mara to do? I want John Mara to fucking fire Ben McAdoo. That's what I want him to do. Yeah. Is it rocket science? I don't give a shit if John Mara has never fired a coach midseason or it's not the Giants' way. It's what's right. This is what you need to do. It's not about, well, you know what? He's never done it before. I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah, the I mean, listen. Come.
Get yes. rid of him.
Yep. You can't, like, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this whole, you can't consistently try to carry a culture that's not there. There's no culture there.
Like, there's no identity. No
culture. There's no leaders. Like, who's the leader on defense? We think it's, you know, JPP. He's kind of been there the longest, Super Bowl champion. He's not a leader. We think it's Damon Harrison. He's repeatedly said he's not the leader. Jonathan Casillas is the team captain. He wasn't playing. That's fine. But on the sideline, where is he trying to motivate his guys? Where is he? I'm not saying starting altercations on the sideline, but where is he sort of, you know, making a scene, trying to make guys buy into what's going on? Where is the leaders on this team? And we don't see it. And, you know, this performance was a lot like the stuff we saw in 2015. The only difference is this is a more expensive defense than what we saw in 2015. Right. And if you're John Mara, you need to make a change. If you already have your mind made up, which part of me thinks they do, then you need to make the move right now because you need to reestablish
credibility. Zero rationale for waiting it out.
Yeah. You have to reestablish some sort of credibility with your organization. You need to, like, I'm not going to sit around and let this happen to my organization, to my, you know, to this New York Football Giants rich history and tradition. I'm not going to do that. And who do you hold accountable first? You hold the head coach accountable. We'll talk about Jerry Reese at the end of the season. We know they have to clean house, but you start there. You say the head coach is gone. Then you put someone there, a Steve Spagnuolo, a Mike Sullivan, whoever, in charge to be the head coach. And then from there, we start holding players accountable. I mean, you hit around the head. Something needs to happen. Someone needs to be held accountable for this embarrassing. And it's only going to get worse. This was the Los Angeles Rams traveling cross country. They still got to play the Redskins. They still got to play the Eagles. They still got to play the Cowboys. They still got to play the Chiefs. So we saw their fans travel well. So by no means is this, you know, we talk about rock bottom. Maybe this isn't rock bottom. Maybe when the stadium is filled with Eagle fans and they're chanting MVP to Carson Wentz, maybe that's rock bottom. Who knows? But to me, you need to send a message. You need to reestablish credibility. And that's something this organization doesn't have right now. And that's something they need to establish. And they can start by holding people accountable in that building. And it starts with the head coach. It starts with the general manager. And it carries on down from there to players.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think we're both pretty much been preaching the same thing, and there's really no real rationale for keeping Ben McAdoo around any longer. I mean, if you watched even half a quarter of the game this past Sunday, you saw a team that didn't care, that wasn't trying, that was making business decisions, that was poorly run, poorly managed, and you have a gutless owner who's too afraid to go in there and make actual change. Because you know what? It's too late to turn the ship around this season, but it can always get worse. It can. You can have these guys making even more business decisions. You can have more suspensions, more people revolting against the head coach. It's never been more obvious that this team does not respect a head coach. It never has.
No.
Make a change. At least the defensive unit last year was unreal, and the reason this team was good. Maybe make the guy who was in charge of that unit head coach. Who knows? Maybe I'm the crazy one.
I mean, listen, the thing you talk about this is something that John Mara doesn't do. Well, you know, John Mara kind of has full control of the organization since his father passed and Tom took charge. But Tom Coughlin was a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach. And the one thing we saw was, there were bad years. Yeah, there were teams that lacked talent.
Not only that, he took an expansion team to the playoffs.
Exactly, but just in his Giants career, guys never quit on him. I mean, this team went 6-10 back-to-back years. We never saw players quit on him, and those guys weren't as talented as what some of the guys we have on this roster right now, specifically on defense. That's
a great point.
They never quit on him, so it didn't make sense to fire Tom Coughlin midseason when, A, the players still respected him, two, the players still played for him. I mean, and three, he had that credibility of being a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach that you couldn't fire him midseason. But Ben McAdoo is not that. Ben McAdoo is a second-year head coach who clearly it's so clear that this guy is not fit to be a head coach. You need to make a change right now. You need to send a message. You need to reestablish credibility. And we talk about it with Jerry Reese and his draft picks, the fact that he hasn't realized his mistakes. Well, maybe John Mara should realize his mistake when he hired Ben McAdoo and say, you know what? This was my bad. I made the mistake, and I fixed it right now. Don't wait until the end of the season. Do it right now.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, the two aren't comparable, but you think Eli Manning's going to be tearing up during Ben McAdoo's conference? Yeah, no fucking way.
I don't think Eli Manning cares.
No.
I mean, why should he care?
He doesn't.
Should he care about an organization that has not played their cards right to expand his career? Why should he care? He shouldn't care. Max Kellerman said it best. They did not build this team around Eli Manning. They built it around Odell Beckham, and how can they make him so much a part of the offense? And there's nothing – that's not something that I'm blaming Odell for. I'm just saying they built this team the wrong way. I was thinking about it the other day, and we'll move on. We'll talk about what's next. But the way this team is structured, Ethan, is it's structured more to be like the 2011 team that was – came out of nowhere. You know, the most improbable sure. Super Bowl team we've ever probably seen. I mean, if right. you think about it, 9-7, and it instead they should have built the 2007 team, where even though they were 10-6 and came out of nowhere and went to the Super Bowl, but that team was really talented, and that team did it by running the football, playing strong defense. Not a team that went out there, three wide receiver sets, and threw the ball 40 times a game with a mediocre offensive line, a mediocre, you know, defensive performances. That I mean, that they tried to build that instead of what they should have built when they built the 2017, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right. They basically tried to replicate a formula that doesn't work.
Yeah, a formula that worked once and clearly is not, you're not capable of doing that again. It's just not possible. I mean, so many things fell in line for that 2011 team, whereas back in 2007, it was beat you at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Strong offensive line, strong defensive line, leaders, you know, culture. Whereas now that it's not there, and trying to replicate 2011 to me was a mistake, and that's something that they try to do, you know. So, you know, that's just my opinion. Something that I thought about earlier today.
Yeah, no, totally agree. So yeah, that's it. John Mara's gutless. Let's move on to. I guess number three on the list. Is it time to bench Eli Manning? No.
I think the better question is what do you do now? I
mean, right.
What do we do with Eli Manning?
Yeah.
Because here we are, 1-7, season's watched. You got Davis up there. You got a potential top three pick in the making. You got a potential house cleaning coming up. What do we do now with Eli?
The fact that Davis Webb was not active yesterday is an utter embarrassment for a team that was 1-6 going into Sunday, that, you know, obviously wasn't going to make the playoffs. I don't think anyone expected them to be blown out that badly, but that's why you have Davis Webb active in the event that happens, because you spent a third round pick on this kid, Ben McAdoo, the dunce who wanted to spend a second round on him, and you really have no clue what he is, and you're going to have hopefully a new general manager coming in at the beginning of next season. You're going to have definitely a new head coach coming in, and you're going to have this backup quarterback who has had 1 year behind Eli Manning, who we have no idea what he's capable of in a real game setting. And it's going to be important to evaluate that, especially considering the fact that the Giants are going to be in line for a top five pick, and quarterback could very well be in the discussion. So no, he shouldn't be starting, but he should at least be active in, you know, a scenario like last Sunday, where things went from bad to worse to total dog shit, and he could have stepped in and given you a couple reps just in the fourth quarter to see what he's got. You know, in terms of Eli's future, it's tough. It's really tough, because there's two different sides to this, right? There's the cap management side, where there's really no easy way to part with Eli Manning outside of a trade after this season, if you're so inclined to move on.
Or he retires,
which he's not going to do. Right. And on the other side, there's, well, you likely have a new regime coming in. And why does this new regime want to stick with a 37-year-old quarterback who's coming off of a bad season? So, you know, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place as the new general manager. The bright side, if you're the new general manager, is that you likely have your pick of the litter in terms of, you know, either next quarterback or at least building the team. You're going to get a strong defense. You'll have the opportunity to take a top pick. But, you know, with Eli, listen, he's going to be on the team next year. That's I don't think he's going to waive his no trade clause. I don't think John Mara, because, you know, for better or for worse, doesn't want to trade him. I think he's going to be on the team next year. Now, before I let you speak, I need to say something.
Yes. I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
I know what you're going to go ahead.
Eli Manning is on the decline. It is not offensive to say that. It is not crazy to say that. You look at the other quarterbacks in his draft class. Phillip Rivers is throwing ducks. His team stinks. Ben Roethlisberger has been in decline for years. But because he has an amazing offensive line, the best running back in the league, and an always intense defense, it's been sort of masked from everyone freaking out. Right? Eli has a dog shit offensive line. He has zero running game. And to be quite honest, there are teams that can be very competitive with a quarterback like Eli had they decided Absolutely. To build their team around him. Okay? This isn't a total knock on Eli. He has declined. Yes. Did Jerry Reese do a terrible job of building around his needs as a 37-year-old non-mobile quarterback? 100%. Is Ben McAdoo a dunce? Yes. So the two things are not mutually exclusive, right? You don't need to say, well, it's either Eli's totally, totally a bum or the general manager is totally, totally a bum, right? Eli can be on the decline and they could have built poorly around him. And I know that's like a crazy thing to think about in this social media age where everything is always black or white, but it's a gray area. Okay. You can have both thoughts, and that is the case. So just because the Giants should be looking to move on from Eli Manning, you know, it's not crazy, right? He's not Tom Brady, who's like an ageless wonder. They should be thinking about their future if they have the opportunity to draft him. Now, I'm of the opinion that none of the quarterbacks who are projected to go top five currently, and granted that will change, are worth taking in the top five. However, there are some guys, Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, who are not top five projections right now, who I would love on the Giants. So you can still spend that top pick on Saquon Barkley if he's there, on Quentin Nelson if he's there, on Dwayne Brown if he's there, right? Those are all good picks. And you could still get your guy later in the draft. But it's just, it's crazy that people just can't admit that, you know, both parties are not even at fault here. It's not, okay, not Eli's fault. He's old and declining, but that's what it is. So I'll let you speak on Eli Manning now because I just went off the rails.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to Eli Manning, first of all, he did not play well against the Rams. Correct. He missed a lot of throws.
Missed like five deep balls.
Yeah, and the one to Shepard that could have answered that touchdown, that was the big one. But anyways, I talked about earlier the way they didn't build around Eli Manning, having that he's 37, having the fact that he's not a mobile quarterback. And we've talked about this before. But here's the thing. If the Giants bench Eli Manning, then his career with the Giants is over. Right. That's something that's something you and I agree on. Because if you bench him, if you take away the only good thing that's happening to him right now, and that's that consecutive
start streak.
Yeah, if you take that away from him, to me, that's worse than what they did to Tom Coughlin. And that would just – you want to talk about burning bridges and you bench him for Davis Webb.
Yeah.
Who was not even like a first-round pick. The guy was drafted in the third round.
Yeah.
Then to me, that's just – you know, the ultimate disrespect, in my opinion. I don't care about how people will say, well, you have to figure – I don't care about that. You know, this guy is a two-time – this guy is the greatest quarterback in the organization's history. And to bench him like that and to end his consecutive start streak, that means so much to him and sort of means so much to the Giants, that will be the ultimate disrespect. And that will most definitely end his tenure with the Giants,
yep,
probably on a sour note, given that. So now people say, well, play him and then sort of, you know, take him out in the second quarter at halftime or when it's a blowout, put him in. And yeah, you could do that. Like they should have done that last week, even though Geno Smith almost got killed on like the second play he was in there. But to me is, do you really want to put a rookie quarterback into this situation where the offensive line is a joke? The running game is – when the offensive line is a joke, the running game is a joke. So I'll call the running game questionable, and the receivers are not really good. And the only viable option you have is Evan Ingram, who's also another rookie. Do you really want to do that? What can you learn from him? And in these next eight games with him, with Davis Webb coming in garbage time or at halftime or at one play after Eli, whatever these crazy scenarios that people have and getting Davis Webb playing time, will it really stop you from drafting another quarterback? And if they do clean house, will it really stop another head coach and another GM from drafting another quarterback? So we could do that and we could, you know, see what we got in Davis Webb and, you know, he can come in garbage time. He can come in halftime. He can come in after one play. So you like continue the streak or whatever people want to do. But at the end of the day, if you clean house and if you bring in another head coach and you bring in another GM, they have no ties to Davis Webb and they're not going to – and they are not going to – Davis Webb is not going to stop them from drafting another quarterback. Nor should he. You're right. Exactly. And you know my opinion on Davis Webb. But anyways.
Yeah.
Like you said about the blame, I just don't understand why people can't really accept the fact that nobody on this offense is absolved from blame, including the quarterback.
Right.
The quarterback has not played well. Now, he is not the problem. There's many other obstacles to this equation. But he has been a problem. His play has been a problem. And given the fact that the Giants haven't done didn't help him along the offensive line, that didn't help as well. Given his age, that's not helping as well. But when you or I or anybody else points out a bad throw or a mistake or the fact that he, you know, hasn't played well, and you get attacked by people saying it's not his fault, it's the offensive line. I mean, that to me, that's just you're delusional, because you're not realizing that, you know, the issues are, it's such a, Eli is a part of a much bigger problem, and that is that this offense is a complete and utter disaster from top to bottom. You have a head coach who cannot make in-game adjustments. That's the one thing about him, is that he cannot make in-game adjustments. I feel like every week he has this game plan, and no matter what the scenario is, he's sticking to it. There's no adjustments whatsoever. And to me, that's my opinion on Eli. Now, what happens after this season, I don't know, because the first domino that needs to fall is what's going to happen with the GM and what's going to happen with the head coach. Then after that, then we can discuss, okay, what happens with Eli. So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah. There's going to be cap issues too, because Eli is making entirely too much for his level of play.
Yeah, and entirely too much.
Listen, I think the new GM needs to come in here and say, listen, regardless of what happens in the draft, you need to take a pay cut, because if you want us to fix this offense and get you an offensive line and maybe go out and get you a quality running back, like, that money is going to need to come from somewhere. And if you want us to prolong your career, we'll do it. But you need to, you know, work with us here, right? Scratch, you know, we'll scratch your back if you scratch ours. So I think that's the first thing that needs to happen. Now, can I touch on the offensive line for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right. People on Twitter who constantly tweet at me every time I say something about Saquon Barkley saying, well, what about the offensive line? They got to fix the offensive line. He's not going to be able to do anything behind no offensive line. Yeah, no shit. Now, you look around the league, right? Was the Jaguars' offensive line good last year?
No, they have a rookie left tackle starting.
Correct. Was the Vikings' offensive line good last year?
No, they completely revamped it, but it's still, there's no like star on the offensive line.
Right. Now, the free agent pool is weak, but it's not out of the question to think that with the addition of a stud rookie running back, a la Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette, and just by making this line average, getting a mauler of a guard who can run block, and re-signing Justin Pugh, and subbing in Brett Jones for Weston Richburg, it's not insane to think that you can revamp this offensive line, not to be top 10, top 15 maybe, and actually get a running game, right? We were talking about this today. What if Josh McDaniels is somehow pried away from New England and is next Giants head coach, right? What if he brings Nate Solder over at a reasonable cap hit for a few seasons?
And Nate Solder's an average left tackle, gives you three average years or two average years, whatever.
So all of a sudden, you have a left tackle in Solder, a right tackle in Pugh, assuming they re-sign him, Brett Jones at center, and Eric Flowers at one of the guard spots. That's four positions that you already know. And Weiss, guess what? Are you allowed, is it legal? I don't know, because based on what people are telling me on Twitter, I'm not totally sure. Are you allowed to spend a second or a third round pick on a starting guard? Is that is that possible? I'm not totally sure.
What people are telling me
is that it's not possible. Because if I spend my first round pick on a running back, the offensive line is going to be total dog shit. Are you telling me otherwise? Is that possible?
Well, the thing is, they're not used to their team drafting linemen in the middle of the draft. Right. It's been a while. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the one thing I find funny when discussing taking Saquon Barkley is, first of all, to say that he's not worth taking in the top five, I mean, you're stupid. No, you're not delusional. You're stupid. That's number one. Number two, if you have an option of taking a generational running back versus taking a okay offensive tackle, could develop into a great left tackle, I'm going to go with the generational running back. The thing is, everyone thinks that the draft is like this one-year endeavor where it's like, if he doesn't play well the first year, he's a bust. That's not the way it works. The draft is building for the future. You draft a guy for what he can give you for years to come. And if the Giants right now, you don't draft by need, you draft by talent. The Giants need good football players. And just speaking on this Saquon Barkley thing, like the way people respond is like, do you think he can run behind this offensive line? Well, honestly, if you look at the running game over the past couple of weeks, Orleans Darkwood gave you 16 carries for 71 yards. Wayne Gallman gave you 9 for 41. Saquon Barkley, in my opinion, is going to be more talented than both those guys. Now, he hasn't even been in the league yet, but
right.
I'm just going to go out on a limb, if you know what I mean. So this notion that there's no way they can run behind this offensive line is just utter stupidity because, like you said, Leonard Fournette, like you said, Dalvin Cook, Adrian Peterson, look what he's doing in Arizona with an offensive line that's bad. So people got to stop this, like, nonsense. You need good football players, you know, like.
It's crazy.
It's stupid. But here's my thing, though. To me, if I'm a GM or if I'm you know, a head coach and I'm picking in the top five or I'm picking in the top three like the Giants are slated to be, I love Saquon Barkley. I really do. I like him a lot. But in my opinion, you got to get your quarterback right now. I mean, because, you know, Eli's 36, 37, and I'm not saying I'm going to be angry if they don't take a quarterback. But to me, I mean, I just think you have the opportunity now. This is a strong quarterback class. And earlier you said, you know, we don't know. It's too early to say where these guys are going to be ranked. I mean, we both saw last year how high quarterbacks came up.
Year before, too.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes was like someone that people thought was a second round pick. Yeah, second, third round. He went nearly in the top 10. Deshaun Watson was a guy people were talking about falling into the later rounds, even a guy that could be in play at 23 for the Giants. Look where he went. You know, look what the Bears did to get Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, I think that we'll see a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, sort of move up the draft board.
Definitely.
And we'll see teams try to maneuver themselves to get in. But to me, the Giants, if you're in position, you got to get your quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, in my opinion. And I don't know much about these quarterbacks yet. I haven't studied them a lot. But to me, you got to get your quarterback, and you got to get him when you have the opportunity to. And the Giants, I mean, now is the time.
Yeah, and listen, if we're under the assumption that we're going to have a new GM going into next year, like I don't think it's crazy to think, hey, especially if they're going to have, like, a high first round pick, that means they're going to have a high second round pick. Like, hey, let's take the best player available, whether that's Saquon, Dwayne Brown, Quentin Nelson, and then trade up back into the first round because, hey, I'm the new GM and I want to make a splash and I want to make an impact on this organization and then trade back in and then get their guy. Because listen, I mean, I'm just speaking like right now. And listen, there's still a lot of football left to play. Mm-hmm. Darnold and Rosen, they just don't do it for me. I'm a Mayfield and Lamar Jackson guy. That
you don't like Rosen?
No, I'm not a huge fan. And listen, I still need to do more research and watch more tape on him.
Yeah.
At this point in time, for what their perceived value is, I prefer Mayfield and Jackson. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Listen, it's early. You know,
I think both those guys are going to climb.
They have to. They have to.
Yeah, absolutely, they will.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if Baker Mayfield's not the first quarterback taken in the draft. I mean, his stock is rising so much.
I think he goes top 10.
He's making NFL caliber throws. Like, I watched the Oklahoma game. I've been watching them. I watch the Big 12 a lot just because it's very exciting. But man, Baker Mayfield makes some NFL caliber throws. I know the height's a concern, but
it's not for me. I don't buy into that.
Yeah,
I used to buy into it. I don't buy into it anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. I mean, obviously, the perfect quarterback, you know, 6'6". Guy that can run a 4.45, 4.4, but you know, Baker Mayfield, he can play at the next level. I would not mind him at all. So
yeah. And listen, I used to buy into the whole height thing. I read like this, I think it was like an SB Nation feature on Baker Mayfield yesterday or 2 days ago, and just like in love with him. Like, he's a competitor and like loves to prove people wrong because his entire life he was too small, he couldn't throw far enough. So he's just like a guy who constantly plays with a chip on his shoulder. Him and Odell on the same team would be absolutely electric.
It would be nice. But another thing about this whole new regime thing is I think some people don't understand how this thing can play out. I mean, there's a good chance that if the Giants clean house, that the new head coach and the new GM simply won't accept Eli Manning. Like, they'll want to move on from Eli Manning. And it will be a harsh reality, but I don't think – them moving on after this year is a slap in the face to Eli. There, it's just, look, new head coach, new regime. Yeah, new head coach, new regime. We're in position to grab a quarterback. We really like, you know, Baker Mayfield coming out of Oklahoma. We like Lamar Jackson. We like Sam Rosen or whoever, whichever one of these quarterbacks. That's the guy we're going to take. You know, Eli will sit you down. What do you want to do? We can release you. You got a no trade clause. We can waive the no trade clause. We can work out a trade. Maybe Jacksonville, maybe Denver. Who knows? I'm just throwing out scenarios. Or maybe the head coach and the GM will come in and say, look, you know what? I can work with Eli. I can get another year out of Eli. Yeah. At the same time, I can go grab a quarterback in the draft. Maybe they can do that. But I think what we've seen is new head coach, new regime, wants their own quarterback. That's usually how it works. So
I mean, listen, I'm saying Josh McDaniels knows a lot about working with old non-mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. And he might, listen, whoever it may be, he might say, I can get another year at Eli. Exactly. And maybe you can if you put the right piece. I still think Eli is capable of leading a team.
Correct.
As he just has to be in the right situation. Right. He, at this stage of his career, maybe he wasn't like this even in his prime, but he's not a guy that can raise people's game around him. He can't make, you know, certain receivers better. But you put the right pieces around him, you put a running game behind him, you put a strong offensive line there, yes, he can still lead you to the playoffs. Yes, he can still make you competitive. So that's my opinion. But I just think I just see so many fans are like, fire the head coach, fire the GM, get a new GM in there, get a new head coach in there. They'll accept the quarterback. They'll go draft the tag. I mean, that's not the way it works. This is when you clean house and everything is on the table. Everything is on the table.
And listen, I don't want to instill fear into any of our listeners' hearts, but let's be real here. With John Mara in the picture,
I can't see that, man. I know what you're
Giants. The Giants rattle off two or three quality wins at the end of the season, and they blame injuries, and they say, you know what, we're going to give Ben McAdoo another chance with a retooled offense. I'm just saying it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying with John Mara, it's possible.
I've gone back. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Just saying it's possible. I don't think it's happening either, but it's possible.
I mean, obviously, everything is possible. They could go and win.
It's John Mara we're talking about. I mean,
no, I think, listen,
loyal to a fault.
I know he's loyal, but when you lose credibility like this organization's lost, when you lose, you know, that many games, like we're talking 2-14, 1-15, 3-13. Like, this is not a 6-10 team. They're not going to go 6-10.
Yeah.
First of all, there's not that much talent there. Second of all, they don't play for that. They don't like that coach. So this is not a 6-10 team. I would be shocked if this team goes 6-10 or 5-11 or 4-12. I mean, after the Niners game, just look at their schedule.
Death row.
And look at their roster.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, like Odell Beckham walking through that door. You know, like they got games. I mean, they play. I just realized this today. The only team they play after the 49ers with a losing record is the Oakland Raiders on the road, and they might not even be below 500 when they play them in December.
Yeah.
Dallas, Philly, Chiefs, Redskins, Arizona, 4-4 on the road. I mean, the home games, they got Philly at home, Dallas at home, Kansas City at home, and Washington at home.
Not great.
No.
God, I mean, there's nothing to talk about in regards to the Niners game. 1-7 versus 0-8. It's been dubbed the Barkley Bowl. Shout out to Chris Plume of Big Blue View.
I hope they play Jimmy Garoppolo. I hope they play Jimmy Garoppolo.
Me too. I want us to lose.
Not just because of that. I still think they can lose even if he doesn't play, but I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play. Like, I legit want to see if the hype around him is true. Like, I mean, everyone talks about, oh, you know, everyone was blasting Bill Belichick's phone trying to get him. Like, now he's in San Francisco. Let me see what he can do. Is he a guy that can be a friend? Like, I'm really hoping they play him. Not just the fact that he hopefully can beat the Giants, but just to watch Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I want to see him play.
Yeah, no, it's who's the the Niners GM?
John Lynch.
John Lynch. Apparently John Lynch like called up Bill Belichick and was like, can we trade for Tom Brady?
Well, because he called and they said, nope, we're not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Then he hung up the phone, called them back and said, okay, you're not going to trade me your backup, trade me your starter. So yeah. Belichick took him serious too.
Hey, shoot your shot.
Exactly.
All right. There's nothing really. I've got nothing to say about this game. It's going to be disgusting. I don't want to watch. I'm probably going to watch. I'm actually going to Texas this weekend, and I'm flying back Sunday morning. So I will be probably incredibly hungover while watching this game. Listen, if God is with me, he will have me fall asleep on the couch so I don't have to watch the entire game.
I mean, listen, if they lose to the 0-9, I mean, the Niners, I think, have lost, dating back to last year, I think they've lost like 11 or 12 games in a row.
It's not
like
good.
This is a really bad team. This looks like an expansion team. Like, if you look at their rosters, they have a lot of injuries. And I'm just saying, man, I mean,
yeah, enough said.
Since September 12th of last year, week one, they are 2-2 in what they lost 9 games this year. They're 2-23.
Good Lord.
They're 2-23 since the start of last season. If the Giants lose to San Francisco, I mean, we talk about rock bottom.
Yeah, that'll be rock bottom.
Yeah, I mean,
that and then getting blown out by each of our division rivals for the remaining games.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we got too many questions. This one's actually interesting. We got 2 good ones, actually. All right, from Nick Beck, longtime listener. Do you think Brett Jones could be our center for years to come? That's pretty much the question. Good run blocker. Just got to work on pass protection. If we could somehow find a way to genetically combine Brett Jones and Weston Richburg, we'd have like the best center in the league.
Yeah.
I think he's good. I think he's better in the run game than Richburg is, and that's honestly the main problem right now. So, if Brett Jones continues to play decently well, yeah, I got no problem rolling into next season with him as our starting center.
I still got to see more.
Yeah, no, listen, if he continues to play decent, right. Fine. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He had a good game last week.
Yeah. This one from Suck for Saquon, I think is the – yep. Am I wrong for believing the Giants could have an 0-1 Chargers-like draft if they get a capable GM, Saquon being LT and Mayfield being Breeze? I mean, hey, anything's possible. Liz, they're going to have a top pick in the first round, top pick in the second round. I think they're going to need to trade up if they want to get a quarterback if they don't take one top five. But, this could be a franchise-altering draft. Look at where they're picking.
Yeah, I like that.
There's an optimistic comparison.
Yeah, that would be nice. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, me too. I guess that's about it. Any closing thoughts?
None.
It's bad when Weiss has nothing else to throw in at the end. All right. That's it. NYG Weekly episode.
Do they win Sunday
against the Niners? I think they do. That team is so bad.
Yeah. They were bad. Then they're also decimated with injury.
Yeah. I might break my television if they lose.
You think so? You'll break your television if they lose on Sunday?
It would be
intriguing for me to see what it's like after that game if they lose.
Dude, how can you not fire Ben McAdoo after that?
Yeah, especially if they play like the way they played last Sunday.
Yeah.
I think they win, too, just because San Francisco is so depleted.
They're so bad.
They are really, really depleted. They're a bad roster, but then they also lost good players. The few good players that they had, like Pierre Garçon, is out. So, yeah, I think they win.
That's it. All right, episode 44. That's it. Peace.
Peace.